Good morning, early risers. That'll wake you up, won't it? Wow, nice and loud. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This day is a gift from God, and we are here to show our gratitude for that gift. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've begun attending recently, we want to offer a special word of welcome and extend the hand of friendship to you and express our hope that you'll make a home here with us. One way to do that, of course, is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of opportunities in your bulletin insert. I'm going to mention just a few. First of all, our Pro Tuesday Pancake Supper is this Tuesday at 5 p.m. There will be gluten-free pancakes available for those who need that. Tickets are on sale in Reed Hall, and I don't think it's going to be snowed or iced out this year. Thank goodness. Immediately following the meal at 6:30 will be our Jazz Master in the Sanctuary. It's always a grand celebration. And it is the perfect counterpoint to the services the next day for Ash Wednesday. So let me encourage you, if you have never attended our Jazz Mass, I know you haven't in the past 2 years because it's had to be canceled. So come back, or if you haven't, try it. Ash Wednesday, of course, is March 1st. Our services are at noon and 5:30 and include the imposition of ashes. I believe if you come to both the Tuesday night and one of the Wednesday services, you will find it will be the perfect beginning of your Lenten observance. Wednesday evening at 6 p.m., we have our final spring gardening class. It's about helping children learn to garden. I know a number of you enjoyed that class, and we'll continue through this coming Wednesday. Also, a reminder, on Thursday, we begin our Lenten recital series. That's at noon. We have a concert. We have lunch. Please make reservations for the lunch. And we begin our series this year with our own Caitlin Dowling this coming Thursday. So I hope you'll plan to be here. Also, this coming Saturday, March 4th at 4 p.m. in Reed Hall, a pianist Yuka Iwata, who is Sue Stein's daughter-in-law, and Miri Terashima will be playing music that celebrates the fusion between American and Japanese music. And there's a four-week series, West End 101, starting March 5th at 9:45. You can read more about that in your bulletin insert. If you'd like to learn more about West End, like to learn more about the United Methodist Church, you don't have to be new to the church to take part in this, but I think it probably would be helpful if you are new to West End. That's beginning March 5th, next Sunday, 9:45. And also make note of the Chancel Choir concert on March 12th at 4:30 p.m. Did you ever have someone you admired so much that you didn't just want to learn from them? You wanted to be like them? Maybe you even wanted to be them when you grow up, for those of us who haven't grown up yet. Well, that's what it means to be a disciple. Stick around. We're going to talk a little bit more about this disciple business later.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now.
Thank you. God is with us right here and now.
Building our lives for our Creator.
God cares for us and gives us glory.
We lift our hearts to our Creator.
God appoints us keepers of the earth.
We dedicate ourselves to our Creator.
You may be seated. God listens to our prayers of confession and changes them into songs of mercy. Let us come to the one who pours out forgiveness into our lives, praying, "Before God and God's people, I confess that I have been reluctant to speak out clearly, naming the injustice I see and declaring God's vision. We confess our reluctance to receive our calling as God's people, made by God and chosen as witnesses, to dream justice and joy. Remind me, God, that you have made me for your service, and recharge me with your word. Renew us, God. Grant us courage to live out your way of peace and grace." When we confess our distractions, our errors, and our anxieties, God will meet us and renew us. Sisters and brothers, know that in Jesus Christ you are forgiven. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are other folks who would care to join us, you're welcome to do so. If it makes you feel better to bring a parent, a grandparent, or a friend, that's okay too. Don't you just love your teachers? Yeah, I thought so. I didn't have any preschool teachers because they didn't have preschool when I was a little boy. They didn't even have kindergarten where I grew up, so I just started first grade. But I love my Sunday school teachers before I got to school, and I love my teachers when I got to school. I want to talk about a few of my teachers. One, I've mentioned before, was my second grade teacher, Gwen Jones. She was right out of college. She was probably about 22 years old. I just thought she was wonderful. And I thought, you know, when I grow up, I might want to be a teacher. I wanted to be like her. Of course, she taught me a lot of things. I wanted to learn what she taught me, but I wanted to grow up to be like her. And then, when I was in eighth grade, Mr. Cooper was our principal, but he was also my eighth grade teacher. He did both. And I really liked Mr. Cooper. He was pretty strict, but he also let us do really fun, creative things. He let me adapt a short story by Mark Twain into a play. I didn't know anything about what I was doing.
And he let me direct it and put it on for the class. So while he was strict, he was also pretty creative. And I thought, you know, I like this teaching thing. I wouldn't just like to be a teacher. I would kind of like to be like Mr. Cooper. And then in high school, I had Doug and Anita Tidwell. They were a married couple. And they both came to my high school to teach English, but they also taught drama and did plays. And I thought, oh my goodness gracious, this is so much fun. I want to be like them. Well, you know, today we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple. And a disciple is not just somebody who wants to learn what their teacher has to teach. A disciple is somebody who wants to be like their teacher, just like I wanted to be like Miss Jones or Mr. Cooper or the Tidwells. I wanted to grow up to be like them. Well, we as disciples of Jesus want to grow up to be like Jesus. We make promises every time a child is baptized in here that we're all going to help you grow up to be like Jesus. To learn what that means, but also to walk in the way that he walked. Now, I'm going to talk a little more about how that happens in the sermon. So I want you to listen for some of the ways that you might want to grow more as a disciple, more as someone who wants to be like Jesus. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us people in our lives that we would like to grow up to be like. Thank you for giving us teachers. Thank you for giving us those persons who show us your love, and especially thank you for those who show us the love that Jesus showed. It is in his name that we pray, and it's his way we want to follow. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. This is the last in our Art of Neighboring series. And perhaps the ultimate art of neighboring is the art of becoming a disciple. The passage you heard contains the very last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples according to the Gospel of Matthew. His last words contain what we call the Great Commission. Go into all the world making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it also contains a promise. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, the Great Commission would not be understandable if it weren't for the Great Commandment. Okay? Two in one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it is to be a disciple. So when Jesus says, go and make disciples, he's making a reference back to the Great Commandment. Our whole job is to make disciples. That's what it says in the United Methodist Discipline. Our mission statement is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, the transformation that we're talking about is a world that loves God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loves neighbor as self. I'm afraid we haven't done a really good job of that, have we? But it's still our mission, and we're still called to do it. We're still called to work at it. How do we make disciples? Make has kind of a negative connotation, doesn't it? If I make you do something, it means I'm forcing you, I'm coercing you. If I make you, then somehow I have power over you. But it's interesting, in the Greek, the Greek word for make is poiesis, which is the same word that poetry comes from, interestingly enough. Maybe it would be better if we said to cultivate disciples. We've had this gardening series on Wednesday nights. What do you do with plants? You plant a seed or you plant a slip and you cultivate it. You nurture it. That's what we do. We don't make disciples. We receive people who are interested, who for some reason have heard of this Jesus, want to learn more about him, and our job is to cultivate their growth, their health. Just like a poet takes words and puts them in a certain order for a music, kind of music and a kind of a meaning and beauty and still maintaining that mystery. That's what we do when we make disciples. Now, there are a number of stages you can go through as a disciple, and sometimes we move ahead in those stages, and sometimes we go backward in those stages, but we often begin as a disciple as simply an observer. We come because we want to see about this Jesus. We want to see the effect Jesus has on his followers. How do they act? For some of us, we didn't choose to come. For some of us, we were brought by our parents before we knew anything. We were baptized as infants. We were put on the assembly line at that point through nursery school and then through the elementary education and then through youth. Of course, confirmation comes in there in between, and we're supposed to come out the other end a disciple. And all of that's important. All of that is a way of learning about who Jesus is, how people have understood Jesus in the past. But I'm convinced that discipleship is more than simply learning information about Jesus and the church. I believe that discipleship is about relationship. And so whether we are baptized into being an observer or just show up some Sunday, we're looking to see how other people live out their faith. We're looking to see who we might be in relationship with that we might ultimately grow to want to be like, to learn from. Unfortunately, the way some of us as Christians act do not draw people in, but pushes them away. If you come as an observer and you stay long enough and you have a good enough experience, then you might actually become an appreciator of Jesus. Jesus is right up there with your favorite movie star, your favorite football hero or basketball star, right up there with your favorite writer. You know, Jesus is among those celebrities that we admire. And for some of us, that's as far as it gets. We come as observers, we learn a little about Jesus. He's a great guy. What a wonderful man. Aren't we glad that he lived a long time ago? And we admire him greatly, but it stops there. He's on the same level as all those celebrities that we follow throughout the culture. I'm not saying any of these stages is wrong, mind you. I'm just saying that sometimes they can be limiting if we're talking about cultivating disciples. After a while, admirers sometimes decide, often by watching us as disciples, that they actually want to be followers of Jesus, that they want to try on this life that Jesus' disciples lead. And they get involved in Sunday school classes and learn more if they haven't been before, and they learn more. They come and have conversations with you or with one of the pastors about their faith and about what this means. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What's required for me to be a disciple like all the other disciples? And as we know, the disciples in the gospel set a pretty low bar during the time that they're with Jesus. They don't get a lot that he says. He's constantly wondering why they're not getting it. He's calling them ye of little faith. And yet he sticks with them. He doesn't desert those disciples when they don't understand. He doesn't leave them alone when they just don't get it. He continues to cultivate their faith. The way we nurture a plant, the way we nurture a child, the way we look for music and beauty and meaning and mystery in our language. And so we become followers of Jesus, members of a church, perhaps, actively involved in the activities of the church. We join committees or we join the choir. We come to Wednesday evening programming. You can be really, really, really involved as a follower of Jesus. Now, of course, you don't leave behind the admiration. We still admire Jesus at this stage. We don't leave behind our observation, watching other Christians to see how other Christians act. And then there's that final step of discipleship, which can be kind of scary. We become an apprentice of Jesus. Now, I want you to forget everything you've heard on television about apprentice. I want to go back to an old definition of apprentice. An apprentice was someone, often quite young, who was sent to work with someone who had mastered a craft or an art so that they could learn not only that craft or that art, but they could learn how to become like that master. They could be like that person. That one day they would go out and they would then teach other people, their apprentices. To be an apprentice of Jesus, to choose to be like Jesus, is quite a bit more demanding than simply observing what other Christians are doing, because it's really easy to be an observer and be highly critical and highly self-righteous and never progress in our discipleship. It's easy to be an admirer, because that way, as long as Jesus pleases us, we can stay in his fan club, and then when something doesn't please us, we can leave the fan club. Very little commitment there. Follower has more commitment, I think. A commitment to be involved in a community, a commitment to continue learning, a commitment to continue growing. But to be an apprentice is to say that I am willing to stand for what Jesus stood for, even if it's unpopular. I am willing to stand for the love of God and the love of neighbor. And Jesus was pretty broad in that definition of who is our neighbor. I'm willing to stand for that even when other Christians say, no, that's not right. Call me naive. Call me short-sighted. Because I actually believe that Jesus was serious in what he said and what he did. And it may even mean that at some point we put ourselves out there not to kill those who disagree with us, but to put our lives on the line and be willing to die for what Jesus stood for. That's a tall order. That's a big commitment. But there are people around the world throughout history and today who put their lives on the line because they say, Jesus is Lord. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus calls me to love my neighbor, my Muslim neighbor, my Buddhist neighbor, my Hindu neighbor, my atheist neighbor, my Democrat or Republican neighbor. My neighbor who may have no affiliation, my Catholic neighbor, my Church of Christ neighbor, maybe even some of my Methodist neighbors. And I'm willing to stake my life on that love because it's not my love. I don't have that kind of love. Believe me, that's God's love. I just want to participate in it. That's what an apprentice does. An apprentice takes up the tools and learns the skills in order to participate in the art and craft that the master teaches. And the art and craft that our master teaches is the art of love. Not love as a warm feeling. Love as a policy toward everyone you meet. To treat them with respect. to see them as a child of God? Not necessarily to agree, maybe to have profound disagreements. But even then, to recognize the stamp of God's image on that other person and to honor the God that is within them. That's our job description. To take observers and to cultivate admirers, and to take admirers and to cultivate followers, and to take followers and to cultivate apprentices. You're welcome, no matter what stage you may be in. But just know that if you come as an observer, we're going to try to woo you into being an admirer. And then we're going to try to lure you into being a follower. And then we're going to tell you how hard it will be, but recommend apprenticeship to Jesus. Because ultimately, all of his disciples but one laid down their lives in the same manner their Lord did. Oh, the crucifixion may have been different, but they laid down their lives for a message of love. The only one we know who didn't was John, who lived out that message of love, caring for Jesus' mother, according to the tradition. All those people who didn't understand, all those people who didn't get it all along, got it. Got it to the extent that they apprenticed themselves after the master of love and laid down their lives for that same message of love. Discipleship is not an easy thing. It's just the most important thing. Thanks be to God. No matter what stage we may be in of our discipleship, one way we tell our story and reflect on our journey is through creeds and affirmations. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And join me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as you continue standing as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service around 12 or 12:15. They'll gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they're to be shared or confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know after the service. This morning, we remember some folks who have lost loved ones. Susan Cowden and Rob Kennedy and their families are mourning the death of their stepmother, Mary Neal Kennedy, who died February 19th. Services were held here on Thursday, February 23rd. Matthew Hubes Dobson IV died Monday, February the 20th. Services were held yesterday. Among his survivors are West End members Betty Dobson, his wife, Jean and Bill Ferris, his daughter and son-in-law, Matt and Ann Dobson, his son and daughter-in-law, Cora Dobson, his daughter, and Matthew and Walt Dobson, his grandsons. Carol, Chuck, Kyle, Van, and Claire Burgess are mourning the death of Carol's father, Oscar Towler, who died on Wednesday, February the 22nd. Services were held yesterday at Brentwood United Methodist Church. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, we bow before the presence of your Holy Spirit dwelling in this place. We thank you for all the good gifts that you bestow upon us. Help us to be good stewards of those blessings so that we might be a blessing to others. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his life and teaching, his witness and example, his death and resurrection. He is our mighty Savior. And we ask that we might be made more like him. Conform us into the image of his divine fullness and empower us to be his faithful ambassadors. O God, we lift up to you our world, asking that you would sow seeds of peace where there is discord. We ask for healing where there is hurt. We ask that you rain down love where there is hatred, that you might bring both physical and spiritual food to the places where famine and hunger exist. Almighty God, we ask that you would bless our political leaders, local, national, and international. Help them to guide and structure human life in ways that provide opportunities for all to thrive and prosper. Help the leaders of this world be mindful of the marginalized, the poor, the beaten, and the displaced as they discern policy so that your justice, O God, might be seen by all. And we pray for our church. Bless our leaders that they might be models of Christian virtue and piety. Bless our laity and fill them with your love. Bless our children so that they might continue to grow in the faith. Bless our worship here and now, so that all we do in mind, heart, and soul might be to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in his name, for it is he who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As those who have received in abundance, may we offer our tithes and offerings back to God with generous and grateful hearts. You may be seated. It is not in the bulletin, but we have some folks joining us this morning, and I'd like to introduce them to you. Here we have Jay and Heidi Blaisdell. Jay is a program coordinator for the state of Tennessee, and Heidi is an English professor at Nashville State Community College. And then Anthony and Haley Hendren. Anthony is a structural engineer at Structural Design Group, and Haley is a surety bond underwriter at Travelers Insurance. Anthony is transferring from Mary Queen of the Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and Haley is joining as an affiliate member, which means that she'll maintain her membership at her home church of St. John United Methodist Church in Scott Depot, West Virginia. Anthony, Jay, and Heidi, this question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Amen. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Amen. All right. Congregation, would you turn in your hymnals to page 43? And when you're there, would you stand? Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And would you respond? We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we are renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Witness was added since the hymnal was printed, if you didn't catch that. Now, friends, may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
I send you forth as disciples of Jesus Christ, loving and serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God will be with you, Christ will be with you, and the Holy Spirit will be with you, so that you may grow and flourish in your discipleship all your days. Go in peace.